Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Totally EM. This podcast is one that is meant to be very brief. It is something that I read as an interesting article and wanted to share this with everyone because I feel like this is something that gets missed all the time. Even though we're taught that we should be doing this, we're not always doing it. And that is to scan the anticoagulated patient, even with minor head injuries. And by that, I mean those patients with a GCS of less than 15, we're already starting to think about scanning those individuals. But what about if we have a normal appearing individual who had a minor head injury, they have a GCS of 15, they're neurologically intact, nothing looks like it's really going on there. They're happy, they're smiling, they're talking to you. Are you still going to scan those patients? And what I really like is that the British Journal of Hematology recently published this paper talking about the incidence of intracranial bleeding in anticoagulated patients with minor head injury. And they did a systematic review and meta-analysis of prospective studies. Basically, they started out with over 10,000 studies, and they whittled it down to just five that actually met their criteria. And what they found out is that of those patients, when they were studied, that there was a high incidence of those who had intracerebral hemorrhage on CT when they were later investigated or when they're investigated on their initial visit. And that rate was 9%. So one in 11 people who were anticoagulated, most of them being on warfarin, they had the low molecular weight types, they had the novel anticoagulants, all these different things. But keep in mind, the bulk of them were warfarin. And what they found out was that 1 in 11, man, that's a scary number just by itself. Now, when they did an additional kind of investigation with this and they removed some of the bias from it and everything else, that calculated rate went up even higher to about 11%. So now we're talking about 1 in 9 patients. 1 in 9 patients that are anticoagulated that come in have a risk for an intracerebral hemorrhage. That is a huge rate. That is something we cannot ignore. But what I'm seeing all too often is that clinicians in varieties of settings say, hey, this person looks okay. They had just a little bump on their head. Now, given the definition of minor, it can be a little bit confusing because it was different from paper to paper. But ultimately, what I take away from this is if you're anticoagulated and you had a minor head trauma, even if you're acting appropriately, you're neurologically intact, this is something to be concerned about. This is something that we need to investigate further. Does everyone need an emergent right that moment head CT? Usually not. These are patients that can probably wait a little bit if they're doing well. But the big thing to remember is that you probably should not be letting these patients home unless you have a really good reason why, just because of the anticoagulation part alone can be so scary and such a high incidence. And again, it's not just for those who are on warfarin. It's any of the anticoagulant types. So we have to keep in mind the apixaban, rivaroxaban, dabigatran, edexaban, the low molecular weight heparins. Again, all of these are things that we have to remember when we're looking at these patients and they're looking back at us and they don't look bad. And some of them will refuse. And I really try and encourage them, but I didn't have the data yet. But now I can tell them that 1 in 9 to 1 to 11 people, somewhere in those ratios, they are falling at risk for this. So when we need to investigate these people, again, do a good neurological exam. If there are neurological deficits, if they're not acting appropriately, these are people who need to go over sooner to the CT scanner. You know, maybe we should not try and suture them up and do everything else minor first while we're waiting for them to go over to CT. Let's push them over to CT first. But if they're lower on the risk, you know, if we can monitor them for a little bit and see how they're doing while we're suturing them up, maybe still try and encourage them because some are not going to be always agreeable to this. But the big thing is we have to encourage, just like we have found with other certain populations, like sometimes with the ETOH intoxication, although that one's a little more complex, and I feel like that would be a different podcast, that we need to remember these patients who have been on some sort of anticoagulant, whether that's low molecular weight heparin, warfarin, or the novel anticoagulants, we need to remember that we need to scan these people at some point because there is such a high risk for this. I'd be curious what everyone else finds. Do you see this high rate? Do you see that 9 to 11%? Or is your rate even lower? Personally, from my experience, I think this is a little bit lower. I'm thinking more about the 4-5% range, but it's still far from that zero number. And that's the thing that people want to argue. And I see a lot that people are trying to use different risk stratification criteria, and there's a ton of them out there. Personally, I like to use the Canadian CT head rule. But if you follow the Canadian CT head rule, what's one of the first things it asks you about? It asks you about if they're anticoagulated. And why do they do that? Because those patients are already so high risk that we can't simply exclude them, even though everything else is okay. Now, sometimes I use it to maybe help support my judgment, but at this point, I really don't like sending anyone home that I know about being anticoagulated. So it's very important that we ask right off the bat. There was a shop that I worked for where every single patient who was anticoagulated, they automatically called a level 2 trauma, even if they had no other injuries. And I know this gets really complex for the trauma systems because that is usually a question that comes up and usually what risk stratifies these patients. Does that mean that all these patients need to be level 2 traumas? Maybe not necessarily. Maybe we need to put them in a separate category. But I don't know where to put them yet. And I think this is a big thing with the research is we don't have a great way to rule out who has the head trauma or not. I think that's a great additional study in the future, and I think that's something we have to do at some point. But at such a high incidence right now, and without a strict definition of what's considered minor head trauma, we have to consider all these patients to be at least at risk for it and try and get the head CT for them. And yes, this is complex, and this is something that will sometimes eat up more resources, but when you have such high numbers, even if you say, well, from my personal experience, it's lower from this, it's still not 0%. Head CTs, especially most of these people who are older and at low risk for long-term complications from head CT anyway, just do the scan. I mean, yes, it takes up a little more resources, it takes a little more time, they're going to be in the department for a little bit longer. But at this point, at this juncture with what is currently out there in the research, we simply can't just rule out these people and avoid, you know, at least at this time with what currently exists, we can't really just say, hey, based on a Canadian CT head rule, we can exclude these people. Now, given sometimes these patients are not going to give you their full history, maybe they're coming from a nursing home and the nursing home didn't bring the paperwork and the paperwork can't be sent over for some reason, or maybe these are patients from home that don't know their medications and you can't get information from a local pharmacy. I get all of that. And I'm not saying that we can't ever not scan someone. But you have to keep in mind, too, a lot of these head CT rules will usually include age as a factor. Usually it's like over 65. So again, if they're older or if they have head trauma with anticoagulation, seriously consider just going ahead and scanning them. But sometimes I've noticed the biggest fight is for people who are older because they just don't feel like they're at risk for it. Now, given there are some people who look like they're maybe just 30 when they're 65, and maybe those patients are in a different category, but we haven't studied that enough. And I feel like that's something that is a case-by-case basis. But right now, again, the big thing is anticoagulated patients, we need to seriously consider scanning them. And this is usually where we get hurt because we always think of ourselves as the exception of the rule. We don't have as high of numbers, but someone does, and somewhere along the line, we do. So again, this is a very simple idea. When you look at someone, if you know they're anticoagulated, just go ahead and CT them. If you're not certain, but they meet other criteria of your rule-out criteria that you are using, such as their age, again, go ahead and do that. Be on the safe side with this. You do not want to miss a major head trauma. Sometimes it does happen still, but most of the time we can avoid it by following simple things like this. And I really like this paper because they did a great job taking what data is currently out there and publishing this so we can at least get an idea. And now I have numbers to present to patients and their families on why we should go ahead and perform a head CT. So long story short, anticoagulated, go ahead and CT their head. I feel like I've been pounding that in the last few minutes. And I just want to mention one last thing here. For those of you who are listening, you guys, I love you all. You are doing such a great job in helping me out, and I enjoy all the feedback. And I want to reward you because, as I've mentioned before, we have a couple of upcoming ultrasound courses in Missouri, and I would love to have you guys there. But I'm going to offer for the people who listen to this podcast, and who listen to Total EM in general to get a special discount. Use Total EM in all caps when you're checking out after you have signed up for a course. During the registration portion, it'll ask you for a coupon code. If you put in Total EM, it will take off 10% of the overall cost. It's money well saved, so if you already listened to this, you're already planning on coming to St. Louis or Rolla, Missouri for the upcoming courses towards the end of the year, do it now while there is still a discount in place. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.